In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to start today with a question. And I want you to be honest. How many people here in the last year, let alone the last several years, have found themselves to be jaded, disillusioned, upset, frustrated with the way that everything seems to be going? Who here has seen that? I agree. And it's interesting. You know, we get frustrated. We feel thwarted. We get down in the dumps because we don't see things moving. And we come to readings like this. And it's interesting. These readings remind us that we really have nothing to worry about. Let me give you an example. Several years ago in the steel mill, towards the end of my career there, we had started off with a shop of around 41 electricians. And there was plenty of work for all of us. And then after we actually got bought out by U.S. Steel, our work basically doubled, but our workforce did not. And then seemingly our work tripled and our workforce, again, did not. It actually started going the other way. By the time I left, my shop had 28 people in it. And there's been a lot of interesting things that happened to me in the steel mill. There's been a lot of strange things that happened to me in the steel mill as well. I'll give you one example of that, which is, as our shop got smaller, we still had work to do. We still had to get things done. So people got forced overtime. So you'd walk into work, and you'd look at your schedule, and all of a sudden see that you're forced 2, 3, 4 doubles a week, working not 40 hours, sometimes 80, a couple times even 120 in a week. And I would see the repeated forced overtime and the repeated forced overtime, and being one of the lower people in the shop, believe me, I was always on that list. Made me angry. Made me very angry. So I would actually go talk to the higher-ups. Actually, I'd go yell at the higher-ups. Because I found this to be wrong. You don't work your workers to death just because you want to save money. Just because you want more profit. So after a while of this going on and saying, look, if you're forcing us 120 hours a week, why are you not hiring more people? Why are you always putting it on us? They finally turned around, and there was a week that I wasn't scheduled. So I had a normal work week. Awesome, right? I still went to the higher-ups and complained. I pointed out, why are you still forcing everybody to work 120 hours a week? Why are you forcing us 80 hours a week? Why are you forcing us even 60 hours a week? If you have to do it for months on end, what's the point? Boss responded to me, what do you care? I didn't force you. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I responded to the boss. I said, really? You think that's the point? You think that's why I'm angry? I said, it doesn't matter who you force. When you have to force half of your work crew, when you take them away from their families, from their plans, and tell them that there's nothing they can do about it, it doesn't matter who gets forced. It's still wrong. And that baffled them. And I understood something that day. I understood that we had lost something very precious to people. And I don't know when, and I don't know why. We find ourselves polarized by politics. We find ourselves polarized by positions and public opinion. And in recent years, we have begun to do things that at best can be called questionable. At worst, absolutely wrong. And I think back, and what many of you know, what our ancestors that came before us knew, is where phrases such as this come from. I do not agree with what you will say, but I will defend to my very death your right to say it. I do not agree with you, but I will defend you. We don't look around at people and see people anymore. And then we become even more jaded and we hear readings like we hear today. Or we come to church talking about the promises of God. But where are they, they say? Well, I don't know. Where are they? Part of that is our responsibility. Part of that is taking care of the other, the one next to us, whether we agree with them or not. Part of that is sitting down and listening and being patient. Part of that is not losing our mind when we hear of wars and rumors of wars. Perfect example of that. Doesn't matter which side of the border thing you fall on, right? Really doesn't matter which side of the border you fall on. Can you do anything here about it immediately? Well, yeah, you can actually pray. You can show compassion and concern for those people on the border on both sides, right? But it's not going to be decided by you or you or you or me. It's not going to be decided by us. So we do what we can. We pray. We have anguish. We have compassion. We hear rumors about what could or could not happen. But we stay in God's word. If we are afraid of the promises and the promises not being fulfilled, what's the point of any of this? And if the promises are to be fulfilled, if the promises that Christ gave to the world by his death are true, can you change them? Can you adjust them? Can you tweak them so that they suit your needs? We talk about the one true Catholic Church, right? Holy Catholic Church, meaning big Catholic, Roman Catholic, Catholic, Universal Catholic. We talk about Catholicism as a whole, the Catholic, the united body. Put it an easier way. What are you? What are you?
Christian.
Good, you've been listening. Christian. So who do you follow?
Christ.
Good answer. That is the message. It makes no difference about the size of buildings or the blocks stacked upon one another. Wars make no difference. Fights make no difference. Battles make no difference. You have a set path because you are followers of Christ. All of His promises are yours. There's nothing that you can do to change them. It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you find yourselves on. It doesn't matter what side of the social spectrum you find yourselves on. We have forgotten the simple things. I tell you, I think Jen's probably the only one that actually knows this. I love it when it snows. Especially when you get close to that twilight time. And you've got the snow coming down and the light is soft. I like to stand outside and watch it. Do you know why? Because when I stand out there and I watch the snow, I'm reminded of a picture I once saw as a child that was by Norman Rockwell. And it was simple. It was of a man sitting by a fireplace with a fire in it, smoking a pipe, reading the evening news while kids played at his feet. It made me happy, but you look at that picture and you see the kids seem to be safe. You see the father is happy, the mother is off to the side, sitting on a couch. I like it when it snows, because it reminds me of what should be and what I am not. It reminds me that I don't need to stress out about what's going on in society or politics or culture or anything else, because there are promises that have been laid before me. There are promises that have been given to me. All I have to do is accept them. That doesn't mean you float through life innocuous. It doesn't mean you float through life ignorant or ill-informed. It doesn't mean you float through life ever taking a stand. You follow Christ. You have battles not just for you. And at best, your battle is just speaking into a situation while understanding that the person on the other side may not agree with you. The Episcopal Church right now is pushing a great deal for evangelism, right? That is a primary thing of the Christian faith, evangelism. How do you evangelize if you won't talk to anybody? How do you evangelize when you do only what's good for you? How do you evangelize when you're unwilling to reach out to have conversations? One of the most shocking things to me, and this is what brings this all up for me really, is last week Tucker Carlson, who is a, well, he's like the talk show guy for Fox News, right? I mean, I'm sure you all know generally who Tucker Carlson is, or can at least understand that position. He just does a little segment on Fox News about different things. Some people agree with him, some people don't. Some things I agree with him on, some things I don't. But it was either a week ago, I believe it was just a week ago, there was a DC group called Smash Hatred that actually put his address and phone number out on the web and said, "Meet us at the house." Waited till he was at work, showed up at his house with his wife home. Started beating on the door, threatening their lives. "We have pipe bombs. We know where you sleep. Get out of the city. We don't want you here." And broke down his door. This was a group in Antifa, or Antifa, however you want to say it. But here's the question I have. Does that seem godly? Does that seem Christ-like? Does that seem like we're going to have a conversation or evangelism? I tell you truly, not one stone will stand upon the other, we hear today. I see that happening. Again, that was actually talking about the temple. All of Jerusalem burned, and all the gold in the temple seeped into the cracks between the stones. And the soldiers, wanting the gold, pried the stones apart and took the building down to get the gold. I see that happening. Should we be afraid? Who do you follow? What are the promises? What are your responsibilities? Are we supposed to be fearful, worked up, frothing at the mouth? Or because of what we have been given, are we supposed to be steadfast, calm, measured, compassionate? I'll let you decide.